둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm actually, this isn't my place. Actually, I've snuck in and I'm stealing the Wi-Fi.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK and WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you get three new interviews sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones, you can do so any of the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, and NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. If you're already subscribed or while you're subscribing, don't forget to give the series a rating and a review as well. And just think of some of the guests that you'll be hearing. In fact, lately, let's see here, we've talked with Slowpulp, actor Daryl J. Johnson from Drunk History and Punked. Aldous Hodge was here to talk about the film Marmalade. Mary Timoney dropped by. Natalie Morales from The Morning Show and Parks and Recreation. Matthew Vaughn, director of Argyle. We hung out with Buffalo Tom, actress Mary Holland, Monica Raymond from Hightown on Stars, Neil Halstead from Slow Dive, Emily Hampshire from Schitt's Creek, Neck Deep, Michael Shannon, Slater Kinney, Eduardo Franco, Jack Antonoff of Bleachers, Doctor Who's Peter Capaldi, McKenna Grace, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today hanging out with Coolest Shaker frontman Crispian Mills. We're going to be diving into their seventh album, Natural Magic, discussing bringing back the band's original Hammond player, who had been playing with Oasis and his offshoots in the years between, the group's hallmark sounds and of 60s rock and Indian influences. We'll hear about creating their own updated take on the revolution will not be televised. Crispian goes on to tell us about his comparison of rock music to the Marx Brothers, keeping an ear on their 90s peers like the Stone Roses and Oasis and Blur, not being too crazy about the new Beatles song, and working with Simon Pegg once again on an upcoming series, Technicolor Time Machine. All that and more. Let's dig into Natural Magic. It's Kyle Meredith with Crispian Mills of Coolest Shaker.
Hello there. I forgot, of course, it's the album's called Natural Magic, and quite involuntarily and subconsciously, I'm wearing a Hogwarts scarf and I had these Harry Potter glasses on. So it's obviously in the air.
It's in the, you know, we just need to
do a little lightning strike right here on your forehead, and you know we can. Yeah. Really, seriously, I've loved everything that you all have done through the years. I've been following since around the beginning, and this, I say this every now and then, when you have a band that you appreciate and you love the music, and it's years down the road and you hear there's going to be a new record, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees that magic is going to be there. And somehow you still find ways, and I'm sorry, no pun intended with the magic, but you still find ways to kind of have that it's still there. This record is fantastic. And I'm sure this is a dumb question to ask, but how are you still able to capture that?
Well, you know, there are various incentives. And some are very practical, like, oh my God, I've got to pay some bills. And then there's others that are like, I got to beat what I did before, and I got to keep growing and keep evolving. And then there's luck, you know. We were really lucky because we were going to tour America, and our Hammond player that was kind of filling in this lost weekend of 10, 15 years where Jay, our Hammond player, was playing with the Gallagher brothers, and you know we tried to hook up with him, but he was busy, and that was, we understood, it was, life had kind of shifted into different kind of dimensions. And then when this tour came up and Harry couldn't do it, we called Jay. He was the only guy, and It was just very, very lucky that he was at the right time free to do it and wanted to come back, and we all hooked up. And so it's chemistry, you know, there's a chemistry that comes when you all reconnect, and it has a life of its own. Really does. And I think like a really good band, it is always bigger than any individual member, and it does have a kind of a life and an identity that shifts, and you want to be in a band like that, you know, like, what is this monster?
Are you able to articulate, like, you talk about the chemistry and that recipe, you know, the four of you all, what you make, like, what is it that you, that the four of you all make that you don't get when any of those guys are not there?
You know, if I could really boil it down and analyze it, then I'd be a rich man, because it would be the formula for success in any endeavor. You know, it's a magical thing, like love and music. You know, no one knows what makes makes a hit either. Nobody knows what makes a great film. People think there's these formulas and da da da, and there's some pattern and design involved and craft, obviously. But in terms of what it is that is that magical ingredient, nobody knows. I mean, you know, we did learn to play together as kids. You know, we, from the age of 16, 17, 18, 19, we were all playing together. So that you create those impressions, and you all actually, you've designed yourself to fit together. And you know, I don't know why I did that, but you have. And so when we plug in and start making music, everybody kind of complements each other naturally. It's in our DNA.
When you've also been around for as long as you guys have been around, I think for some bands, for any band, there's, you know, little expectations, I think, for the sounds, and there are the coolest shaker hallmarks. You know, you get those touches of the 60s. You get the Indian sounds that kind of bring it in. Is it important to keep those as you go forward, or is that more of what you're saying, just sort of what happens when you're together?
It's just what you like. You know, you use the things you like and that you know and you understand. And you know, I think Tim Burton, the filmmaker, said he you know, he was constantly, I'm going to do this now, and then I'm going to do this. And then he realized, I don't know when, I mean, someone else probably could have told him this before, but he realized he'd just been making the same film over and over again. The story might have been different, but, you know, there was this continuity of what he was trying to get across. And I think you find that you got to kind of make peace with the fact that you have one major theme or kind of demon that you're wrestling with, and you're trying to overcome it, and you're trying to, you know, get through that in everything that you do. So there is a certain reason to it.
And we'll be right back, right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Crispin Mills of Kula Shaker.
And to be fair, like, there are many different sounds on this record. We do find those hallmarks within certain songs, but the variety is still there. I'm looking at the track listing here, and Gaslighting, Getting Us Started, which, I mean, is it fair to say this is sort of your own update on The Revolution Will Not Be Televised?
We're taking the piss out of it all. Yeah, I can't. We do have a problem with taking things seriously, and you know, I can't take death seriously, and that's, it doesn't mean that it's not profound and very real. I guess it's a way of dealing with it. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, that's still relevant today. It still makes a lot of sense. And, even in the age of the internet, you know, the fact that people are trying to communicate and are just constantly up against, you know, gaslighting from each other, you know, as well as from the man, you know. How do you deal with it? I mean, there's so much of music and lyric writing is cathartic.
And you're exercising some stuff.
Oh, it's 11:11. Look on your clock. That's, it was 11:11. Just as I looked, was it?
Are you gaslighting me? Is that what you're doing right now? Yeah. It was never 11:11. But those words are important, and it, you know, whether you're taking the piss out of something or not, they land. And I also bring up, I don't want to pay my taxes, which goes right into F-bombs beautifully, by the way. Those lines, I don't want to start World War III. I think when you announced this, you even shared a picture from MASH on your socials, you know. I mean, this, I don't know, maybe the easier thing to hear is just, you know, you're hitting on some obvious stuff here, but what is on your mind? Why did you want to tackle it like this?
I don't want to pay for World War III. That was the line. Yeah, I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay for that. You know, I want to pay maybe to contribute to the community. You know, we have a tradition of, you know, compassionate, sharing here. Not. I wouldn't say, you know, it's a political thing. It's very much a British thing that we kind of all kind of contribute and want to contribute. But the idea that, you know, that you spend your money on the war machine, I mean, that sucks. Nobody wants that. No, nobody in their right mind wants that. And it was my kid. My kid's, you know, like 8 years old, and that's his lyric. It's not mine. He picked, if, you know, if anybody wants to knock on the door in the middle of the night and drag me off, it's him. He did it. He came up with that line. He just picked up a guitar and he just threw that line away. And I just thought it was so good. I said, right, I'm having that. And then we had to go to negotiation. And when, you know, there was some legal toing things for my 8 year old.
That's, it's a line that hits me though. It really does. I mean, there are multiple wars always happening, and some of them become in vogue as a hot topic. And I don't mean to downplay, I don't mean to make light of it, but, and I just find myself thinking, you're no good taking a side because it's all wrong. It's all, and I'm not projecting to you. This is how I hear it as a listener. You know, it's like everybody, like there are some wars happening out there right now where people are getting very angry if you don't take a side. And I thought everybody's wrong and everybody's right. And it's proven itself time and time again. When you wrote this, I don't know if it was out of anger or out of exercising catharsism, whatever it is, but you know, how does this song help you?
Yeah, it's catharsis, it's for sure. I mean, you know, I say this a lot, and I probably sound like a broken record. You see what I did there? But I mean, when I think of rock and roll, I think of Marx Brothers, for instance. You know, that, like, that for me epitomizes what it's about. You know, yes, I think of Jerry Lewis, and I think of Little Richard, and da 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 da, and then on and on, the Velvet Underground or whatever. But I think of the Marx Brothers because they just—it's just, you just gotta trash it. You gotta trash the whole thing and let everybody kind of release this kind of pure human emotion, you know, through laughter or music or whatever it is, you know. And it just gives you a sort of clarity. You can step back. from all the rhetoric and all of the gaslighting. And, you know, I mean, I know a very well-known scriptwriter who was very cynical and said, you know, name me one film that ever changed the world, that had ever made any difference. You know, I think he'd given up drinking at the time. He was very, very depressed. And you can say the same thing. Bob Dylan wrote Masters of War, right? You know, what's changed? You know, but it doesn't matter. You just got to keep being human and sharing that. And the fact is that we all agree on this, in this idea that we're, some agree and some don't with this, and you're on that side of mine. It's just humans versus robots, and that's it. So I just want to stay human, and I just want to laugh about it, and I want to sing songs and get on with my life.
I will say, you know, to your point too, Masters of War. Like, yeah. I was definitely already open to wanting to hear something like that. And it's just like when you need to hear a sad song to feel better. There were certain songs that I needed to hear to justify that I was on the path that I wanted for myself, you know. Yeah. And I got those out of those songs, which I do think is important that you keep going, that you write these songs that you're writing. And it also should be said that this is also a fun record. You know, I've highlighted three of the tracks here that are very heavy tracks.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've got the title track with Natural Magic and Indian Record Player and the duets, too, who am I hearing singing with you? Because I don't have the credits with me.
So Lavoni is a local singer from the East End of London, and her family are from Bangladesh. And she was born in Bangladesh, but she's got this very strong Bangladesh accent. We wanted somebody, you know, who really understood this Bollywood style of singing, but they understood the retro, the vintage 60s movies that we love. I mean, if you want to get your head around some really psychedelic, very sort of cinematic movie scores, if you check out the scores of R.D. Burman and Nusraj from the 50s and the 60s, you know, it's absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, they're off their heads, those guys. And they really got into Morricone, and they were really trading ideas. And so she was hooked up with us by Himanesh Goswami, who plays tabla, and we worked with his father when we were kids, so there's a whole family thing going on there, which is great. And then with Stay With Me Tonight, we were looking for a kind of country soul voice. And there was a time where there was a discussion going on with Norah Jones's people, and she was too busy making podcasts or something. It didn't happen. And we were looking for the right kind of voice, because it's, you know, it's not just, are you a good singer? It's, do you connect, do you resonate with the other voice, and is there a chemistry that you can hear? So eventually we found Al, who is was near the studio where we were working down in Brighton, and I'd heard her sing in an open mic night like 10 years before, and just very, very, very nice tone and lovely person, and it just worked. We tested it out, it worked. So we're lucky there. It's not easy. And I was writing that duet just to see if I could. Actually, it was a challenge that was thrown at me, you know, and I think it works. You know,
it's a great part of the album. It is.
Yeah, we need to give it to Gwen Stefani and her husband to record.
Make some real money off of it.
Make some serious money, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Crispin Mills of Kula Shaker. The other one you were talking about with You Stole My Heart, the Churalia, I wrote down, what a great meeting. It reminded me of, do you know the Mavericks? The sort of Tex-Mex band, the Mavericks?
Uh-huh.
It's musically, it was like such a great meeting of their style and Indian Bollywood style. I mean, I don't know any other band that pulls that off like you. I really don't. It's just, it's so done so well.
Well, we're kind of straddling the worlds there, and because we really are one foot in medieval India and 60s Bollywood and another one here, you know, or somewhere here in time. I get both sides. One thing, like I said, about those mid-60s soundtracks especially is they were taking a lot from Morricone. They were really influenced. And all of the kind of crazy psychedelic detail they were going to town on. So you do sometimes hear an overlap in those recordings as well.
It's also interesting now that we can look back, especially with your contemporaries, you know, bands that came up in the 80s and 90s, who, by the way, as a fan, what a great time, because many of them are still making music, you know, Blur and Slow Dive and Ride and Liam and Noel, you know, et cetera. And then they all sort of, and like each one of you took a little piece of psychedelia and made it your own, went a different way. Do you keep up with your contemporaries' new music?
I do. I keep an eye on them, make sure that we'll see what they're up to. Ian Brown and Liam and John Squire, and they're all still, you know, putting out good stuff. And I think, you know, it's like, do you still have something to say? I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. It is energy, and it is. But I think even it boils down is, if you've got something to say, if you've got something that, you know, is really genuine that you're trying to express, that tends to be the electricity feed.
Similarly, how did you feel about that Beatles track that came out?
Well, I wasn't a huge fan myself, only in terms of whether it should have just been left. You know, it was very expertly done. And I have worked with Giles Martin in the past and know him. He's not only is he a lovely chap, he's very, very funny. And we did work in the studio with him a couple of times when we were kids. And even then, when he was in his early 20s, he already looked exactly like his dad. So it was strange to sort of look at somebody who sounds and looks exactly like George Martin. But he's done an amazing job at creating a very polished and well-produced track. But I just don't know whether the song itself should be the... Is it more like an epitaph? You know, rather than a new track, it was rather sad and rather down. I don't know whether the Beatles should end like that. I thought Free as a Bird was okay as a, you know, as a sort of fluttering off into the sky. Bye, John. Bye, you know. Bye, everybody. This one seemed to be rather somber.
It is. I will say for myself, I went from being really unimpressed to, because I work at a radio station who plays it, having heard it a lot, thinking, what a beautiful song. Like, that happens. You hear a song over and over and over and over, and no matter how much you felt one way about it, if you hear a song 20 times, you're going to feel different. You mentioned a lot of, you've mentioned like scores and movies a lot through here. I know that's another big part of what you've done and the movies that you've made. I was looking around. Is The Winged Boy still something that is you're working on?
Well, The Winged Boy was a short story that my grandmother wrote, and it was the first thing that I sort of developed as a film when I was 26, because I left the band and I started working in film as a writer and doing stuff on spec, you know, and then ending up sort of in development hell. And that film strangely got sort of like trapped in a cage by a company in Hollywood. So I still got to get it free. It's still stuck there, and it's been like 18 years. It's insane. And they sort of, the Winged Boy is currently sort of being held at gunpoint by some some bunch of lawyers, but I'll get it back eventually.
It's nuts that can still happen.
Why did you ask about that?
I went on the not always trustworthy IMDb just to see if anything popped up. And that was one that still said, pre-production or writing or something like that. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's happened with that. Yeah.
IMDb knows where all the bodies are buried.
Is there anything that you're working on the film side?
Well, I've been working with Simon Pegg on and off for years. It's so strange. It was never sort of planned or anticipated. We just always ended up bumping into each other and talking about something and wanting to work with each other on it. And so, I'm working on a show with Simon called Technicolor Time Machine, which has been going on for years. And it's been a bit of a saga. But so many of, you know, with film, so much of it is the fight to get it made. You know, with when you make an album, you're fighting for that album to be heard. Usually the making of is quite, is a musical experience. And then the business fight comes afterwards. But with film, you have to fight and fight and fight and fight just to get it made. You know, and then there's that fight so that, you know, it actually resembles what you imagined in the first place. And then there's a third fight, which is to get people to see and hear about it. So it's much more complicated. It's much tougher on the creatives to protect it. But you got to kind of be addicted, and totally in love with film and the process of doing it in order to survive that and not go completely batshit.
My filmmaking friends, the line I hear them say most is, it's a miracle a movie can be made at all. Just any movie. It's a miracle if it makes it to the finish line.
You've got to believe in miracles. Hallelujah.
And some natural magic while you're at it. And that's the way I wrap this back around. This record is so good. I'm always so happy when you're making new music. Seriously, Crispin, thank you so much for continuing to do what you do, and especially for taking the time to talk about it. I really appreciate this.
My pleasure. All right, take care.
My thanks to Crispin. The new Coolest Shaker album is called Natural Magic. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You'll get 3 new interviews sent to you every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get the best of some classics from the 80s and 90s, lots of great new music. There's a bonus interviews, music news. One of my recent shows featured the tunes of Francois Hardy, Judy Collins, Alanis Morissette, the Black Keys, Prince, Happy Mondays, David Bowie, The Head and the Heart, the Linda Lindas, Counting Crows, Nico, Jukebox the Ghost, Band of Heathens, Wilco, Roxy Music, Beastie Boys, English Teacher, David Byrne, Porno for Pyros, Foo Fighters, let's see here, and my interview with Janelle Monáe. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And on a very windy, blustery day, the Wi-Fi is just gets shot. And
it's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.